In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We remember our saints and loved ones today. This makes us sad, reflective, and stimulate gratitude and lots of wonder. Wondering about them and wondering about ourselves. What is our destiny? One of the most perplexing things about being a human being is that we never fully know who we are. Think back to the days of your youth, teens and twenties. I'm hoping they were a good time. But that's probably not who you are today. And the future, well, that's unknown. But we don't even know who we are today. Right? We've learned all kinds of things. We've integrated. I'm hoping maturity has been going on. Yes, there's some core things that have come to us, but we still don't understand ourselves. That's why your dreams are so important. Your dreams may be the most decisive thing about you. We tend to look at reality as locked in, frozen, right? We're bashing our heads up against it every day. It is what it is. But our dreams invite us to go beyond. They won't let us quit. Struggle for a breakthrough. What else is it that is new and that we are to become? Dreams are so inviting. Jesus had a magnificent dream. It's called the reign of God. He taught us to pray for it. Your reign come. Your yearning be done. Your reign come. Your yearning be done. Because he wanted all of us to experience the incredible intimacy with God, whom he called Abba, Papa, the God with all those motherly qualities. He wanted us to live inside of that intimacy and that relationship, because he knows unless we're grounded there, without it, that assurance that we've been summoned into being, that life is not only a gift, but we are to be the blessing that we are, that we get scared and frightened and we run away. We've got to know it from deep inside, and we have to be assured of it for a lifetime. Because once we know that, then we can share life with others, be of great encouragement. To love God and neighbor, Jesus says, are the same thing. Isn't that wonderful? On the same continuum, to love God and your neighbor are the same thing. It can be practiced anywhere and everywhere. Life is open. But there is a great lie which permeates all religions, but Christianity has really gotten a bad dose of this. And here's the great lie, that God's will is somehow out there somewhere else, almost impregnable, and you have to figure out what it is. And understand it. And then apply it to your own life. And work it. Work it. Work it. Like you're going to the gym. This is good for me. And I'm going to do it. Because I'm supposed to. Ugh. Is anybody going to object to that? Right? It sounds so good on paper, doesn't it? Stir the troops. Commit yourself. That's religion. And that is a great lie. Read the Gospels. Jesus is forever and a day asking people to trust that who they are is magnificent. That you've been created in beauty and truth and joy, personalized because you are needed by the universe. You don't need to imitate anybody else. But who you are needs to flourish. Because when you flourish, then life will be nourished. And without that, we end up in the stagnation that goes on and on. Doesn't it get boring, people? We're invited to live in that flourishing like the flowers, who when the day is right and the moment comes, they just open to the universe. And what matters to the flower is the opening. And it's more than happy to share its beauty with everyone else, but if you want to go on being miserable around the flower won't care. Flourish! It's why we've been created. The universe does depend upon you. There's no question about that. But things start to get reoriented, you see. We create new values, new priorities, a new flow. The last become first when we see who we are and who God is in the universe. The sick become cared for. What a strange notion that would be if that was really practiced, right? The sick cared for? The invisible and the despised, they begin to matter. And even death can be overthrown. But the dream can only come true when it's practiced. That's why we're happy today to hold up Saint Dag Hammarskjöld. He'd hate being called that. As I said at the intro, nobody even knew about his spiritual roots or depth. He simply lived out of them and through them as the UN Secretary General. There's one incredible passage among many in that book called Markings. I gave you a hint of it, which you can find later on, where he says, I don't know how or when, I don't know even who, someone or something beckoned. I don't even remember answering the call, but one day I simply said, yes, yes to my life, yes to all life, yes to the struggles of this life, yes, I will live a constructive life. Yes leads to meaning. And that's why. But elsewhere, he also calls God the slinger. You who sling me into darkness, you who sling me into chaos, you who sling me into the unknown. Be present in the emptiness, in the void, in that where I have no place to be. Slinger God, where is your yes? And so he engaged world struggles and conflicts where there seemed to be no hope whatsoever, and finally was killed in offering those gifts. The dream, the rain, only opens up through love. Love alone is what opens up the reign of God. Power has no interest in it. Isn't that obvious? Power doesn't care about understanding or change and transformation or solidarity and communion. Power doesn't care. Only love opens the rain. A deep and profound and transformative love. So I invite us on this All Saints Day to, for just a few moments, imagine what the culmination of history might be like. This is eons away, isn't it? Just imagine, first of all, that tens of thousands, is it hundreds of millions of years yet? I mean, I know the planet can go on for another billion years. That's what the estimate is. Correct, Seal? 5 billion. Okay, so we're about halfway there. That's good to know, isn't it? So someday future folks will be looking back at our times and they'll say, oh, those ancestors, back in the good old days, when everything made sense. Yeah. So now let's imagine the culmination of history, which for us is the fulfillment of the Beatitude. This great text we've just sung. So Jesus gives it to us. This is where we're going. In that time, in that day, the poor will have dignity. And they will belong. And there will be no more poor. Can that be? And those who mourn and weep, longing for the transformation of human hearts and society, who carry the agony of what it is to suffer innocently, they shall be consoled. And the nonviolent will administer and possess the earth. Does that sound threatening? The nonviolent will run the show. Are you scared? And those who hunger and thirst for justice will taste a meal of incredible satisfaction. It will have arrived. And those who practice compassion will receive the mercy with which they have lived. And the pure in heart will not only see God, they shall be in God, face to face, tasting the ecstasy and the joy for which we have been created. And the peacemakers will no longer be considered rejects and outsiders and foolish interferers, right? Like Dag Hammarskjöld. They will known to be sons and daughters of God. And those persecuted, who've paid the price of what crucifixion and resurrection mean, will know the fullness of the reign of God as a most freeing gift. Can you think of a more radical reversal of values? Which shall we choose? That's our destiny, which Christ has lived and died for, investing all of this in us so that we too might practice it. It's not for the shelf. It's for the embodiment and the legacy gifts that we have received from loved ones who've gone before, people who've shaped our values, our hearts, our lives, our commitments, the finest way to honor them. Choose to live in the dream, to engage it, to be transformed ourselves, to say yes to the slinger God. For now, we must live by a love that we will never see. Until eternity. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ.